The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and maybe even join in the conversation here this afternoon. You can give us a call if you'd like, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question for us here today, I'm joined in the studio today with my friend, Greg Bosch. He's with Amazing Grace Mission. They do marketplace evangelism in markets and flea markets and what we're going to be talking about today a little bit more, the fairs. And we've got county fairs going on right now in different places, and Medina County Fair coming up next week, and Cuyahoga County Fair coming up after that. And he's going to be there with Amazing Grace Mission. And we're glad to have him in the studio with us here. Well, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the conversation here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Father, bless the program. Use it to help someone come to a saving knowledge of Christ. If there's somebody that's searching, somebody that's struggling, we do pray that something we talk about today might be used of the Holy Spirit to direct them to Christ. We just pray that you bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, I got Greg Bosch with me here in the studio. And Greg, welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Glad to have you with us here today.
Thank you, Pastor Al. It's really a pleasure to be on the radio. I feel kind of important this afternoon. Just a little introduction of myself. I got saved in 1979. I was very religious. I actually was in the Catholic Church, and I was at work. I was at work, and a fellow at work asked me if I knew what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And honestly, I told him no, because I was always taught you must be like Jesus, and I wanted to be like him. But I always felt a little frustrated that I fell short. I fell short.
You're and trying to earn your way, in other words.
Well, yeah,
make
I did
yourself
everything
worthy.
The church was telling me to do. I shouldn't say church. I should say a religion. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between a religion and a relationship.
Right.
I had a religion, but I had no relationship. Well, after I understood when he told me, see, the key here is that he told me.
Right, your friend at work. Yeah.
And I learned later from reading the scriptures, because I couldn't read the Bible, I learned later that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what he was giving me was the word of God, which I really hadn't received before. I was kind of reluctant to hear it, because there's an animosity in my soul before I got saved not to hear it. So I had a nature in myself that was natural, that wasn't spiritual. And it took me 32 years to come to the realization that I needed this relationship. And I was trusting in man's religion and not God's spirit. So after I happened to go to a Bible study, I was invited to at work. A fellow from Ohio Bell, used to be called Ohio Bell, the Bell System. He was a supervisor, and maybe he's listening. His name was Stu McAllister. And I went to that study, and they were chronologically going through the scriptures. They just so happened to be in John chapter 3. When they got to verse 16, I come to realize that there was a verse in the Bible that I never knew. For God so loved the world, or me, that he gave his only begotten Son, which is Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And that stuck in me. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I saw the difference between perishing and having everlasting life. And from that moment, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I accepted that scripture. And the Lord did something to me. He gave me the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And that just woke me up. I was quickened.
Well, and that's what the Bible talks about in that very same chapter when Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again, because Nicodemus was also a very religious man. He had religion, but he didn't have a relationship with God. And Jesus used those same words to reach another religious man. And we call that being born again, because he said you must be born again. First birth is the physical birth, second birth the spiritual birth. And God touched your heart. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you put your faith in Christ as your Savior. And now you're telling that same story basically to people when you have opportunity. And that's, of course, what Amazing Grace Mission is all about, isn't it, with the marketplace?
Yeah, I'm getting to that. Thank you, Pastor.
That's right.
Pastor Al is a good friend of mine. He's been really a good friend, and he's been a help with us. And what happened, this is later. This is back in 79 I got saved, but I had a burden to tell people what I had because it made such a difference in my life. I thought, how could anybody live without knowing this piece of truth, that you can be saved and know you're going to heaven? That seemed right to be a presumptuous sin before. And now all of a sudden I found out I'm supposed to go out and tell people. So I'd go to stores and I like the candy shops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to stores and I'd bring up the subject. You know, the Lord just gave me a way, maybe you'd call it a gift, in how to speak to people in a nice, in a gentle way by the kindness that God's given each of us. To just start a conversation. And a lot of times I found out praying before you talk to somebody really gives you the words to say and it opens their hearts. But over time, I was downsized. I worked for the telephone company and ended up in a place called White House, Ohio. And I happened to go to a church over in Toledo, a Hope Baptist Church. And a fella came there, an older guy. His name was Jim Gardner. And he heads up Amazing Grace Mission. And that's where mm-hmm. I was first introduced to the mission. And I heard what he did. He said he'd go to the fairs, purchase a booth, and it's your space. And in your space, you proclaim the gospel.
Right.
And he had a method of doing it that just caused people to stop and look. And we had a three-door display. And what I would do, I worked at work, and then after work, I'd go to the fairs and work with a friend of mine, Brother Nutter, Don Nutter, out in Norwalk, Ohio. He's 86 years old right now. And I just came back from West Virginia with him and worked with him. He'd work half a day, I'd work half a day, presenting the gospel to the people that would walk by. And the key to this whole booth is, see, if I would have stayed in my religion, I would not have heard the gospel.
Right.
I might have, but chances are slim, and slim to none, and slim's out of town. But anyways, everybody likes to go to the fair, most everybody. And when you go to the fair, you don't expect to be preached to, because you might be running from the church. You might be running from the Lord.
Of course, I was going to say, when you go in the commercial areas, you know, like where you usually are set up, the Medina County Fair, for instance, you're usually in the commercial building, and likewise the Cuyahoga County Fair, one of the commercial buildings. When people come through there, they expect that people are going to pitch them something,
right.
You know, in a sense. They're going to give them some handouts. I can remember when I was a kid involved in 4-H going to the Summit County Fair. We used to always run through the commercial buildings because, you know, it'd be hot, so some would give out fans. Some would give out balloons, so you go get balloons, or some would give out candy, you go get candy. And you see a lot of that at the fair when you're there. But people do expect to have somebody, in a sense, pitch something to them. I'm not talking about
right.
pitching the gospel so much, but that's what they expect. They expect mm-hmm. to have people, as they walk by, say hello and offer them something. And that's what you're using at the fair, is that people are coming to you, mm-hmm. and you're not roping them and dragging them into the booth and beating them with the Bible until they submit. You know, they're coming through expecting, and so in the midst of people talking about gutter systems and waterproofing your basement and vitamin mixes and all kinds of stuff, they come up to a table and you're sitting there and or somebody else is sitting there. I might be even there, Medina or Cuyahoga County Fair. And what do they see, and how do you get them to stop and talk to you?
Well, the first thing we have is a little smile booklet. And the it has a picture of a smile. You've seen the yellow smile.
Right.
And we offer them, did you get one of these yet? And it says, Jesus loves you. And on both sides of the pamphlet is a smile. Well, who would turn down that? A smile pamphlet. Free.
Right.
Everything here is free. And that pulls them in, and the children really love it. And we're not trying to use children, but God loves children. You know, mm-hmm. the Bible says, forbid not children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And inside this little pamphlet, it says, do you ever feel like nobody really cares? And it goes on through the scriptures showing a person how to be saved. But with the smile track, we attract them to a three-door unit that has three questions. And on the top is a little display, and it says, see three things God cannot do.
Now, I have to interject on this one because we talked about this before, and sometimes people will have some interesting reactions. They'll see that thing, see three things God cannot do. And I reminded a few years ago at the Cuyahoga County Fair, a dear older lady who loved the Lord, and she saw that, and she got angry. She was going to defend her Lord.
Right.
And she was there. I thought she was going to come after us over the table and defend God. And we finally got her to stop long enough because she was upset.
Uh-huh.
And that's, some people think, well, isn't that a little offensive? But it does get people thinking. And three things God cannot do. And we got her to stay long enough that we could open the first door. And what does the first door say?
Well, the first door says God cannot lie.
That's right, and that's got to Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And when she saw that, her whole countenance changed, her expression changed.
Amen.
She looked at that, and she started to laugh, and she said, oh, that's right. My God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He always tells the truth. And then she wanted to see what was behind the next door. And so go ahead and give us what's behind the next door.
Door number two, you know, you got to get them to open the door.
Right.
A lot of people are afraid to open it as if something was going to jump out at them. But door number two says God cannot change.
Exactly. And that's good to know because Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. And, you know, I like to point out, you know, when I'm helping you out there, that if God cannot lie, He's not going to start lying. That's what you and I do.
Right.
In fact, sometimes I'll tell the kids, you know, you ever think there's something that you can do that God can't do? Or the teenagers or adults. And a lot of people say, oh, I can't do something God can't do. I say, well, here it is. God can't lie. And
Amen.
We can. We do it too well sometimes. But He can't change. He's not going to start lying. So we can believe and we can trust in anything God has to say. So then that leads us to the third door.
Yeah, the third door is the door that really gets to the point in what we want to talk about, and that is God cannot let anyone into heaven unless you're born again.
Exactly, and that, of course, is what you were talking about earlier in John chapter 3 and verse 3, where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there's where you go and have the opportunity to share the gospel, because mm-hmm. you can ask people, what do you think born again means? Do you know what that means? Have you ever been born again? And you get some strange answers sometimes, don't you?
Right. Well, in 1970s, born again was sort of a phrase for a hippie, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you born again? You know, I, as a religious person, I thought, well, there's one of those freaks, you know.
Oh, they call them the born-againers or something like that. And they wonder, well, where does that, they don't know that verse is in the Bible. They don't know
right.
the term right. born again is a biblical term. I mean, and it makes sense because as Jesus explained it to Nicodemus there, Nicodemus didn't know. He said, how can a man be born a second time? You know, it's just a physical impossibility. And Jesus had to explain the idea of the physical birth, which, you know, we've all had. And then, of course, there's the spiritual birth, which is the second birth. And if we want to be saved, like was explained to you so many years ago, we need to be born again.
Yeah, I mentioned about my natural man mm-hmm. before.
Right.
But it came to my attention when I was quickened that I was a different creature. I was a new creature in Christ when I accepted Jesus Christ. Right. So then it made sense to me what John chapter 3, verse 3 means. I had something I never had before.
Right.
It was God's Spirit in me. I was dead before in trespasses and sins. Now I'm alive in Christ. And I looked at the heavens when I got saved, and I said, wow, now I understand. You know, and I come to realize there's a whole lot of dead people walking around.
Yeah, and it's just like you go to a funeral. You don't expect the guest of honor at the funeral to sit up and chat with the people visiting him. You know, they're dead. And death is fundamentally a separation, and people don't realize the reason you must be born again, the reason that Jesus told Nicodemus you must be born again, the reason your friend told you must be born again, the reason we tell people at the fair and on the radio you must be born again, is because though we may be physically alive, spiritually we're dead, aren't we?
Right.
We're separated from God. And the only way that we can have a relationship with God is to be born again. See, religion can't bridge that gap. You know, church membership can't bridge that gap. In fact, you've got another one that you use sometimes, three doors, three things that can't get you into heaven.
Right.
And just real quick, what are those?
This is what I started on. See three things that won't get you to heaven. And one was, let me think a second.
Well,
the first,
senior
moments, you know?
Right.
But anyways, God cannot we let us into heaven by our religion. God cannot let us into heaven by our works.
Yeah, well, let me just pause while you're thinking of that a minute. I was going to say on that one in religion there in particular, and like you were talking about your testimony, you were religious, but you didn't have a relationship with God. And unfortunately, a lot of people, it could be somebody listening even today, you're religious and you have a religion, whatever it is, a Christian religion perhaps, or a non-Christian religion, perhaps the Jewish religion or the Islamic religion or the Buddhist religion or the Hindu religion or the religion of secular humanism or the religion of atheism. A lot of people don't realize that atheists are some of the most religious people out there. They have a very strong fundamental faith in something that they can't see.
Let me add one thing here, if I could interrupt you. All religions really are based around the law.
Well, they're how to do good works.
Yeah,
and as you said, neither religion nor good works is going to get you into heaven. And church membership, I think, was your other one there. And, you know, just you can join the best church in town. You can join a whole bunch of churches. And the only way you're going to get to heaven is like Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a very religious man, who did a great deal of good works, and who also was a upstanding member, probably of the finest synagogue in town. And yet, Jesus said, ye must be born again. It wasn't good enough. And Paul says that in his writings, that the law isn't sufficient. It can only tell us that we need a Savior. And it was when, through the Scriptures, you heard the Word of God, and the Word of God is quick and powerful, the Bible says, and it's a living Word. It went in, Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, and you traded your religion for a relationship. And that's what you're offering through this. And you know, the whole reason for the booth is not to make money for you. It costs you money. And not to make money for Amazing Grace Mission. It costs them money, too. The idea is to find people in a place where they're willing to listen. Because in the day that we live in today, people are moving around so much. It's mm-hmm. Yeah, I know out in Richfield, where I pastor the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we don't have a place where you could stand on a street corner and pass out tracts or talk to people much. You know, it's just we don't have a marketplace where you can go very effectively and do something like that. Some places they do have areas where you can, but the county fair or flea markets or these places that you go into, these are areas where people are. And, you know, you're in a sense going out into the hedges and the highways, but the hedges and highways are coming to you.
Yeah, the scripture in John 4:35 says, lift up your eyes. Have we lifted our eyes up and look on the fields?
Right.
For they are white or ready to harvest, but the laborers are few.
Right.
I added that extra verse
yeah.
from somewhere else.
Well,
but the thing is, when I came to Cuyahoga, I did this in Wood County, down in Bowling Green, Sandusky County and Fremont, and a few fairs over there with Brother Nutter. And when I came back to Ohio, we went to Alaska in the meantime, and I started the fair up there in Southeast Alaska. I managed it, put it together, and we had people saved. You know, people from Germany, from Holland would come to the booth. We got the gospel across the world because the cruise ships came into Haines, Alaska, and I was able to deliver them the gospel. They came to me, and that's a point I like to mm-hmm. make. People aren't coming to church on the whole.
Oh,
the
yeah.
masses.
It's hard to get people to come in your door initially. We need to be out places where we can find them.
And God wants us to go out of the church and bring them in. So
yes.
what the fair booth does is that we go into the marketplace, and the scripture talks about it in Acts, about going into the marketplace and making contact and getting that first seed planted. It might be the first seed, could be the third seed. It takes sometimes people in religions a few times to hear it, so we're one of those times, and we invite them to come to the when they come to the booth, and we give them the smile, and we show them the doors. Our the point we make: are you 50, 75, or 100% sure of going to heaven? And if they say no, mm-hmm. would you
meaning
mind?
They're not 100%. Yeah,
If they're not 100% sure of going to heaven, most people say, well, maybe, I hope so, but what we do is say, can I show you from the Bible, from God's word, how you could be 100% sure? And if they say yes, we don't force them. We don't twist their arm. We don't trip them into the table. But what we do is we invite them to hear the gospel. And
exactly.
if they open their hearts, if they're ready, if God's pricked their hearts, you know, there's people out there waiting to hear the truth. There's so many people today, especially the kids don't get the gospel. It's not on TV. It's not. For the most part, it's not in the schools, and parents are busy. So I just wanted to let you know that that's what we do.
And, well, and that's a very important thing, because, you know, we have to get the word of God out. I remember talking to somebody a few months earlier this year, and I said something, it was just like King David, and they gave me a blank look. You know, when I was growing up, even kids that didn't go to school knew who King David was. They knew who King Solomon was. You had a basic understanding of the Bible, at least as a piece of literature. I remember Revere High School when I was there back in the 70s in high school. We had a Bible as literature class, and most people had a general idea of things that were in the Bible, and that was just in the 70s. But a lot of times today, people don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. We're running out of time here, and Greg Bash, it's been good to have you on with us today and talking about Amazing Grace Mission and the marketplace evangelism, going out into the fairs and with the gospel. And I like your approach. You're not beating people over the head. They're coming into an area where they expect to hear somebody trying to give them something or talk to them about something. And if people aren't interested, they don't have to stop. You're not going
right.
out and blocking them, and they have the ability to leave. But at the same time, they get to hear. And in a minute or so that we have left, one thing I like too is the people in the booths around you get to hear.
Right.
And over the week, oftentimes you'll see people who work the booths around you start to ask questions.
Right.
And the people who are exhibiting at the fair and working at the fair in various capacities, they'll come through day after day, and they'll start to ask questions sometimes. And it's a tremendous opportunity. And another good thing I want to point out is that anybody can really get involved in this ministry. You don't have to know much. You don't have to be a trained evangelist, a trained pastor, or anything, a theologian. You just have to know that Jesus saved you.
Amen.
And be able to communicate to that to somebody. Have a burden to share what Jesus did for you. We're about out of time here today, and if you're not sure about being born again or whether you can say you're 100% sure that you're going to heaven or not, why don't you give us a call, and you can contact the church. That information is coming up, or visit us at the Medina County Fair next week. That's
right.
July 29th through August 4th. And the Cuyahoga County Fair, August 5th through 11th. You'll be there. I'll be there part of the time. Some other people will be there. Hope somebody will come up, listen, tell them you heard about it right here on Live with Pastor Al. Out of time. Thank you, Greg, for being with us. God bless. Everybody have a great weekend. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.